From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast, find out what we've got going on, check out some of the pictures. Also, send us some of your pictures from fishing, from turkey hunting this year as we wind down the 2014 spring season. Unsuccessful for me. Not that I mind. I've seen a lot of great things. Actually, did a little turkey stalking the other day. Got my camo jacket on, got in the hayfield, took out my strut decoy, my Flexstone decoy, and did a little sneaking up on some toms that were out in the field. And believe me, knowing that nobody was in this piece of private property, it was very cool to see how they reacted, and actually got about 10 feet away from a doe, belly crawling up through the hay, up through the alfalfa there, and it was a lot of fun. But then I started realizing, you know what, I'm getting bit by mosquitoes, and this year is going to be one of our worst that we've seen probably in a long time for ticks, and having had a couple of run-ins with ticks, but nothing to the point of being ever been bitten by one, fortunately. I figured it's time to get on this now because lots of people in the CDC and other places are saying that Michigan is going to have a very bad year for ticks. Not only us, but other people. And that's why we bring in Jason Griffin, the president of Insect Shield, a company that makes apparel and other accessories to help keep the bugs off of us. And Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Duran. It's a pleasure to be here.
If there's anything I hate more than mosquitoes, it's the thought of getting bit by a tick and possibly sick with Lyme disease from a deer tick.
Yeah, I tell you, ticks are not much fun, and they carry a whole host of different diseases that they can pass on to you, and none of those are much fun either. But fortunately, our technology has been proven to prevent about 99% of tick attachments. And so I'll just tell you a bit about it. It's a technology we developed in conjunction with the U.S. Army. The U.S. Army and the Marine Corps currently treat their uniforms. And we sell a full line of tick repelling and other insects as well, clothing. And we also partner with other clothing brands which use the technology in their products.
You know, it's a good thing, too. I'm not opposed to wearing long sleeves in the summertime. I know that, you know, it's summer, you like short sleeves, but growing up how I have, we know that long sleeves are great for keeping the sun off. But when you get in places like we've been up in the UP where we do some fishing in tall grasses, in places where ticks like to hang out, it's probably a good thing. Even with long pants and long sleeves, it still happens sometimes. But with Insect Shield, there's some technology there that keeps them away?
Yeah, the active ingredient is called permethrin. Permethrin's been approved for use on clothing as an insect repellent for 20 or 30 years. And what we have done is removed the need to retreat the clothing frequently. So you can buy a spray can of permethrin and go and spray your clothes, and it will be effective through a few washes. I think 4 to 6 generally is about the most you can get out of it. But we are registered for effectiveness through 70 washes. So we've come up with better binding techniques, better ways of making the permethrin stay in there and keep the bugs away, really for the life of the garment.
That's pretty impressive. Jason Griffin is our guest here. He's the president of Insect Shield, calling us from North Carolina, from Greensboro. Jason, what are some of the places that we can find ticks? I know tall grass. We were wearing jeans and, you know, short sleeve shirts, and we ended up between us about 6 on us. Fortunately, had not gotten bit. But, you know, what are some of the places we should really look out for when it comes to ticks?
Well, the first misconception that a lot of people have about ticks is people find them, you know, maybe under their arms or on their back or their head, and they think that they've jumped out of a tree or, you know, somehow flown onto them. But ticks start on or very close to the ground. They don't start much more than a couple inches off the ground. They like moist places. They get dried out quickly, so anywhere where there's leaf litter or you know, thick underbrush is a place that they will gravitate to. And then they're just so light to the touch that you can't tell they're on you, and they will crawl up and get to sort of soft, hard-to-reach parts of your body, under your arms or the groin area are common places to find them attached. But again, insectial clothing will rather than crawl up, they sense that it's something they don't like, and they just let go and drop off back to the ground.
That's kind of comforting, actually. We were in the UP last year, and you know, one of those things, you decide to take a nap, it's the middle of the day, you've been out doing a bunch of stuff, and I woke up to something crawling up the back of my neck, and it just happened to be a tick. It did not embed itself. And I know that, unlike a mosquito, you won't feel it because they have a built-in, like an analgesic or something, that allows them to burrow in without you feeling it. It kind of shuts off the pain receptor in the area.
Yeah, that's correct. Their bite is generally painless and you know, not even perceptible. And the other thing that many people don't know is that ticks go through three sort of life cycles. There's the nymph stage, there's sort of a secondary stage, and then there's an adult stage. And the smaller ones in these first two stages are very, very small and hard to find. Usually people will notice an adult tick attached to their body when they shower or, you know, just get undressed at night. But the small ones can attach and stay there for, you know, a few days while they're feeding and never be discovered by the victim.
Yeah, and that's when we tend to, you know, run into problems, of course, with deer ticks and some of their cousins carrying Lyme disease, and there are specific symptoms we need to look out for with that.
Yeah, the sort of the most outwardly visible symptom is a bullseye rash. So a rash that has a red center and then a line or another red line around that and maybe even a third line. But unfortunately, some people never even get the bullseye rash. So, you know, Lyme disease is certainly the most common tick-borne disease, but you've also got Rocky Mountain spotted fever, babesiosis, and a whole handful of other tick-borne diseases, some of which are just recently have been identified.
Yeah, it's great. Keep finding more stuff with ticks. But
yeah. Now,
this is why we're bringing you on. We've got Jason Griffin from Insect Shield Repellent Technology. InsectShield.com is his website. Jason, we're going to talk more with you about ticks here in the next segment, if you don't mind.
That'd be fine. That'd be great.
Good. We're going to talk more about Insect Shield and the repellent technology as well. Shopware, workwear, blankets. We're going to talk about some of the products that you are representing, some of the things that we can find online and maybe a local retailer as well. But again, because we're going to see such an influx, despite the fact that we've had a cold winter, and we'll talk about that as well, we're going to see a lot of ticks this year. And with folks on the move, a little education never hurts. So we're going to get back with Jason Griffin here in a couple minutes. He is the president of Insect Shield, InsectShield.com. And you can find a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. We're being brought to you in part by Lucky Buck, of course. Lucky Buck Deer Mineral out of Osseo, Michigan. Is, despite the rain, don't worry, it's still there. You can refresh your spots. Get the Lucky Buck out, because right now is starting to get to be the time of premium antler growth. It gets the heat's coming up. The blood pressure's coming up. It's getting to those antlers, and get your Lucky Buck in your deer. And again, make sure you go to lucky-buck.com or our website, wildmichiganradio.com, for a link to find out all the rules for your area, be it North Carolina or Michigan. I'm going to come back with more Jason Griffin here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
I'm Lee Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski from the Crush TV.
And you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Welcome back. back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network. Website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find me on there. Send me an email. Send me hate mail. You can shoot me a text or give me a call, whatever you want to do. It's all on the website, wildmichiganradio.com. And speaking of Lee and Tiffany, it's been a little while since we've had them on the show. We got to get our friends back and find out what Lee is doing for food plots, because I know that guy is spending tons of time in the tractor right now. And as long as we can keep Tiffany's mom away from the tractor, everything will be fine. Poor Linda. That's all I'm going to say. Back again, we have got Jason Griffin from Insect Shield with us. Jason, we talked off air, and a lot of people do not know how resilient ticks are. Hence the problems we have, even here in Michigan. Our upper peninsula has got perfect conditions, you know, the moisture, the wooded areas, the tall grasses, but it has cold also. I mean, we have experienced more snow than we've seen since I was a kid in the 70s. And then, of course, the extreme cold to go along with it. But that does not seem to phase the population. It almost seems like they thrive on it when they come out.
Yeah, what's interesting about ticks is that the thing that threatens them most is actually dry conditions. They do well in moisture, and if there's snow cover, of course, there's plenty of moisture, and they can just stay under the snowpack and thrive and sort of reproduce and get ready to come back with a vengeance the next season. So contrary to what you might implicitly think, the snow will not do them in. It'll protect them, if anything.
Yeah, it hurts everything else we like, but it doesn't do anything to ticks.
Yeah.
And there are some things. I'm looking at the CDC website where they say avoid folklore remedies such as painting the tick with nail polish or petroleum jelly or using heat to make the tick detach from the skin. But
yeah,
removing.
Yeah, I think most sort of experts in the field will tell you that the best way to remove them is just with a pair of tweezers. Some of those old hand-me-down folklore remedies actually can make the tick regurgitate and pass more of the germs that they may be carrying to you. So just pull them out straight out with a pointy tweezer, and actually you can save the tick and you can send it off to either a research facility that's associated with a university, or I believe the CDC may do this too, and have it tested to see if it's carrying any of these bacteria.
And Jason, how long do we start seeing symptoms after we've been bitten by a tick?
That's a good question. Another factor that people aren't really familiar with is that it takes the tick up to 24 hours to actually pass the germs to you. Now, I think if you pull a tick off, that the symptoms may start to show within 5 to 7 days, I think is fairly typical. But you know, if you have any doubt about whether or not the tick may have been carrying something, then I'd refer you to a doctor. Really,
absolutely. I mean, with you know, in the middle of summer, you're getting fevers and chills, aches and pains, the bullseye rash, like you talk about, and it's pretty apparent. I mean, it can be pretty obvious. It does. It looks like a big old red target with a ring around it on your body where you've been bitten. So, again, these are things that to look out for. Now, your company, Insect Shield, partners with some other companies as well. Where might we find some of the Insect Shield technology and some of the brands we already know?
Yes, yeah, so we do carry our own line of clothing, which can be found at InsectShield.com, but we also have a couple of dozen great brand partners. They include companies like Orvis, Outdoor Research, Gamehide, Rail Riders, Ex Officio, and those products can be found in outdoor sporting goods stores. REI is a good example, but also, I know down in this part of the country we have Great Outdoor Provision Company, something along those lines that carries those brands would be an easy way to find it. And also, most of these brand partners sell through Amazon. You know, I think Amazon sells just about everything.
Sure, right, exactly.
So,
exactly.
So you can find it on Amazon as well.
And, you know, and I'm looking at the list too, like things like Sims, and I know firsthand, Gamehide and Orvis, very good companies. I've had a lot of experience with both, and you know, recommend them highly. But again, with those some of those brands too, you're going to pay a premium price for the premium product, and you also have a workwear for people that are in the field, which I was not aware of until I saw your website at insectshield.com.
Yeah, our workwear is, you know, designed for outdoor workers. Sometimes it's companies who are sending people, you know, to far off reaches of Africa or South America, but also we have lots of companies here in the U.S. that want to keep their workers protected from ticks and mosquitoes and other insects. So it's really a good option. It's you know, I might say it's not the most fashion forward line of clothing, but it does the job, and it's you know, it's good for what for the purpose that it's intended for.
You know, I think form and function should outweigh fashion at any given time.
We agree.
Also, for the people that like to go to the rustic type campgrounds or are really kind of rough it out there, you also have Insect Shield blankets.
Yeah, the blankets been a great product that we introduced. This past, it's been out almost a year now, and it has been wildly popular, but it's great for just if you're going out to have a picnic, maybe, you know, just out in the yard with your family, maybe you're going to a ball game or, you know, any sort of outdoor activity where you want a little place to sit, and the blanket will help keep these crawling critters away from you. It's really very versatile.
Yeah, that and you know your bunk sack and things like that. Great for people that like to get out and camp and that really like to experience the outdoors, if you will. You know, in the rustic sites, or just happening making a trek or a hike across the state someplace. Again, any type of you know prevention always best.
Yep, absolutely. That's you know, there's actually a lot of debate about Lyme disease and long-term Lyme disease and whether or not there's debate about the courses of treatment and there's debate about, but the one thing that nobody debates is that prevention is the best course, and that's kind of where we stand.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, I really appreciate the information. If you'd like to find out more, you can hit us up at wildmichiganradio.com. There'll be a link to insectshield.com on there. Also, you can go directly to insectshield.com. Jason Griffin, the president of Insect Shield, joining us out of Greensboro, North Carolina. How's the weather down there today?
It's pretty warm, and we're expecting thunderstorms. But all in all, I can't complain. It's going to be a nice weekend.
Exactly. You know what? And you didn't have the winter we had, so everything's
no.
Good.
We had a little snow, but not like you guys.
Exactly. I tell you, I appreciate you joining us, Jason Griffin, Insect Shield. Look him up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Coming up next, we're going to speak with Nathan Benavides, the marketing director from Strother Archery. Strother Archery from Michigan, here on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network. That's right. We're statewide, nationwide, too, worldwide. On the website, wildmichiganradio.com, you can pick up our podcasts absolutely free, commercial free on there. Not that we don't like our sponsors. We love our sponsors, our commercial advertisers. But the podcast, we've been keeping that commercial free for as long as we've been doing them, about 7 years now. That's a podcast. Show's been going on 8. Very happy to be doing this that long. And thanks again to another great Michigan company, Lucky Buck. Been helping us out for a while, and those guys are just top-notch solid down there in Osseo, Michigan. Another Michigan company, one that we've never had the opportunity to talk to on the show because of obligations with another archery company. We keep things very loyal here, but since our departure in January, just kind of a Mutual, hey, we love you guys, but we're going to go a different way. We are now talking to our friends at Strother Archery out of Imlay City, Michigan. And Nathan Benavides is the marketing director for Strother Archery. Imlay City, now, if you don't know where it's at, it's just a little northeast of Flint. Not terribly far. It's where Woods and Water does their big event every year. They're used to be like 10 days, but now it's down to, 5 days. But Nathan Benavides joins us here. Nathan, how are you?
Great. Good. How are you going?
I'm doing well because I'm excited because we've been looking at archery companies. Michigan, people do not realize what Michigan has to offer just in the world of archery alone. Of course, we have Oneida, we have Darton, we have Tracy and her St. Joe River bows that she handcrafts herself in the recurve and longbow line. But a company a lot of people are not familiar with is Strother Archery. Now, we've seen them around, and you know we know our buddy Justin from Dream Point shoots Strother, correct?
Yes.
See,
yep,
good.
Correct. Yep.
I'm like, yeah, I got my facts right, right?
you did a little research.
Justin's a good guy. We've known Justin for a while. He's got a great show. As a matter of fact, Justin and I ran into each other last year because he drew a Michigan elk tag also.
Oh, yeah.
He had chased one with his bow, and he ended up like me. We brought our bows, but you know what? We had to use the rifles. So,
came down to a last-minute hunt for him.
It was a last-minute thing. But see, he's cool. He gets to hunt all over the place. I got Michigan.
Right. Yeah, me too, actually.
But nonetheless, you know, it was cool. But tell me a little bit about Strother Archery. When did you guys start? Because I've seen you for a few years now. And, you know, you're starting to make a name.
Sure. Our first selling year was actually 2010. Finished up this year. We'll be just finishing up our fifth year. I'm very, very, very excited. Got a bunch of good things going on. We believe we sell a darn good bow. We just got to get in more people's hands. And that's the challenge. We're working at it every day. You know, one day at a time, you know, with a smaller company like us. So it's going good.
It is very difficult with a smaller company, especially a Michigan-based company. There's a lot of things, you know, a lot of companies out there that in this industry, people think, oh my gosh, they're huge. Even Strother, people would look at that going, wow, you guys are a big company. Not the case. This is not a case of a huge company. You're a handful of folks putting out these bows.
Right. And we really only have a handful of people that make this place run, which is good. It's a compliment to everybody that works here. If we do get a lot of dealers that come on board, you know, from across the United States, California, and even on the East Coast, down in Florida and South Carolina, they wanna fly in. They wanna tour the facility. They're excited. They shot the bows. Absolutely love them. Can't wait to get them in their shop, and they want to fly in and they want to do a tour of our facility. And you know, it's great. But hey, guys, it's probably not going to take that long for us to show you around this place. That's good. A lot of people are excited about it, and we just got to get these bows in people's hands, and we're working at it.
Nathan Benavides joins us here from Strother Archery out of Imlay City, Michigan. And like we talked off air, if it's two things you can go to Imlay City for aside from Strother, you've got one of the best steakhouse chains in Michigan in Lucky's and a very good restaurant in Nachos right downtown Imlay City.
Yes, absolutely. Been there a couple times.
Got to show some love for the local restaurants that I know very well.
That's right. I had a couple lunch meetings there over the last little bit of time.
Excellent. Well, tell us a little bit about your line. And the other things, too, you don't have like 50 different options for bows. It's a very concise, what is it, 8 different bows on the line?
Yep. 8 different right now. This year, for 2014, we just unveiled the what's called the Vital. It's a 32-inch axle, 7-inch brace, and 335 IBO. Heck of a shooting bow. We've gotten it out, and we've gotten it in some people's hands, did some product reviews, and just heard nothing but really good things about it. So it's been a very good selling bow for us so far. Challenge is just with the smaller company, we got to get this sucker out of our door and into your hands, you know, per se. So it's a very good bow, In the past years, we've had some other bows join the lineup. In 2013, there was a shorter axle bow. the Wrath FHO, and then the Rush XT, which is almost a 34-inch axle to axle, kind of our speed demon, 345 IBO. So, but everything is manufactured in house. I mean, we outsource the limbs, mm-hmm. and the strings. But really, everything else, cams, mods, riser, everything is machined in-house. And we send stuff out to our coder, and he brings it back to us, and we assemble it right here.
Now, is the construction of this, is the riser a one-piece machined riser?
No, it's not. It's an extrusion, but, We put the extrusion plate into the CNC, and then and those guys work their magic. And then depending on the riser design, it depends on how many risers they get out of an extrusion.
Sure, no, that's fine. Because look, this other another company that I worked with here recently had a three piece that was press pinned in, and believe me, a friend of mine who is a metallurgist said, "God, I hate that word." Metallurgist said, you know, with that type of construction, it's stronger than the parent metal itself. So with technology comes advancements in strength and the things of that nature. So believe me, it's a question that average guy is not going to ask. And normally I probably wouldn't, mm-hmm. but it's just something out of curiosity. Now, I like shorter axle to axle bows. But a lot of times you give up in brace height, and I'm looking at your Wrath SHO, mm-hmm. and it still has a 7 3/8 inch brace height, which is kind of incredible for that short of a bow.
Yes, absolutely. When we initially unveiled that bow, I did hear a lot of people complain, not really complain, but more so, that axle to axle. I just don't know how that's going to point down range. All right, fine. That's fine. You can say that. Let's see you shoot it. They mm-hmm. shoot it, and you don't hear that anymore.
Well, that's good because I prefer the shorter ATA. A lot of guys like the longer. You know that they seem to be more forgiving. But when you look at this, isn't a 5-inch brace height you're looking at?
No, absolutely not. Nope. I mean 7 3/8. That's a very generous brace for a 30-inch bow.
How are you keeping the weight down to only 4 pounds in some of these bows?
Our designer is a genius.
I'm picking on Nathan. Nathan Benavides from Strother Archery here, strotherarchery.com out of Imlay City, Michigan. We are getting to that point where we're starting to shoot 3D. I haven't picked up my bow since November now. I've not been in the mood, but you know what? Maybe I'm going to have to look into this a little bit closer, but hang on with me, Nathan. We're going to talk more about the line of bows you carry and are producing. We're also going to talk about some of the accessories you guys carry as well, quiver, sight, the like. But Strother Archery, Imlay City, Michigan. Look at your hand. Look at the thumb. You'll see Imlay City. It sticks right out. Coming back here with more with Nathan Benavides on Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network, our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Lots of things going on, man. And my apologies for the past couple of weeks. We've not done a new show. I've had a lot of things on a personal level going on, and I've been trying to get them balanced out. And actually, we are now back, getting back to normal, if you will. So again, our appreciation and our delayed thanks for all of our men and women in uniform, those who have served, those who have lost, and those who continue to serve this great country, and the families who so many have left behind or are currently waiting for them. Thank you to each and every one of you And again, we missed up on a Memorial Day last week, but always in our thoughts and our prayers. Greatly appreciated. Back with Nathan Benavides from Strother Archery. Nathan, let's talk real quickly about some of the accessories you have on your website. I noticed you've got a good-looking sight on there and a good-looking quiver, but you're kind of moving away from that stuff and staying focused on the bow area of things.
Yes, yes. You know, just being a smaller company, you know, we need to put, I believe, you know, a large portion of our focus into our bow. You know, we pride ourselves on the precision, the quality, everything about our bow. You know, one of the taglines we kind of like to use, our quality makes you more accurate. You know, there's certain things about our bow that make you more accurate as an archer, a hunter or a target archer. You know, so let's drive our focus in one direction, and let's be good at this before we be good at something else.
You know, that makes sense. McDonald's wasn't built on everything they have now. They were built on the quality of their hamburgers. As they progressed, you know, then they focused on other things as needs change. And focusing back on the bow and not everything else, I think is a very smart move, personally.
Right. I'm with you.
Well, as the marketing director, I'm almost telling you that you already know, but you know, it's just kind of funny. But let's talk about some of the other bows. A lot of folks, guys, gals, like to shoot longer bows, and you have some longer compounds in your arsenal.
Yes,
there.
Yep, we do. The name of it is the Moxie. It's a 37 and a half inch axle seven, and still a 7 3/8 brace, you know, so, but still pushing speeds up to 330. So, we've actually had a lot of customers call up, and they'll get that in a camel pattern, and they want that in an anodized pattern, for their target. They're going to get it all decked out, go shoot targets, other IBOs, ASAs and stuff. You know, but they just love the way the bow shoots. They're not concerned about a 37 and half inch axle bow. It's all about confidence to them. And if someone wants to shoot that in a camel pattern, they want to take it in their tree stands, by all means, go ahead. So, very good bow, very, very good bow. We still get lots of orders to it to this day, and the bow's a couple years old now.
Now here I'm looking at a different one. I'm looking at your Rush XT, and this is something that I don't think I've seen on a lot of bows, is a draw weight that maxes out at 80.
Right.
Who is shooting that? Wait. I know a short little fella that's probably shooting that. Oh, my friend Mike Mix, man. That guy maxes out at 70. He weighs about 110 soaking wet. And I'm thinking he'd probably eyeball that 80.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's guys that get them. There's lots of guys that like that 80 pounds. They just because they can pull it, they're going to order it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe they may not be hunting in Michigan where we are. Maybe they're probably not hunting northern Upper Peninsula.
No.
It's negative 20. And you have multiple layers of clothing on to try to pull back 80 pounds. It might be a little difficult. You know? But we actually do get a lot of requests for 80 pounds, believe it or not.
What are the adjustment increments on these bows, and how do they adjust? Is there different modules for it, or is it where you can adjust on the bow without a press?
All of our bows are draw length specific, so they're draw length module specific. So in order to change the draw length from 25 to 26, you got to have a bow press. You got to put in a bow press, change out your modules top and bottom to whatever draw length you want, and then tighten everything back up. And then there is a little bit of adjustment after that because you are adjusting the bow, you know, never so slightly. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to change the timing on your cams a little bit. But as far as the poundage adjustments, it's kind of hard to even explain. But we have our limb pocket system is what we call a ZT lock and cradle. So it's basically a near zero tolerance capture on the limb. So at draw or at static, you know, there's no, you grab the limbs and there's no flex whatsoever on those limbs. Just another point we try to hammer in on quality. You know, our quality makes you more accurate. So, mm-hmm. But as far as the poundage adjustment, there's obviously a limb bolt, but it's actually the limbs actually pivot on more of a cradle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not loosening the bolt right out to the very tip, so you don't see a big, huge gap, like on maybe some other bows that you'd see. But we come, as far as draw length or draw weight adjustment, if you go get a 60-pound bow and you want to turn it down, you can get it down to about 50, 54, give or take. We say a maximum of about three turns, and three turns would get you about 2.5 to 3 pounds per.
All right, real quickly, I got two things we want to cover before we let you go. We got a couple minutes left in the segment. First one, and God bless you for doing this. Ladies love to hunt, man. It's very evident. They always have, but they've been stuck with guy stuff for so long. And I'm looking at your Hope line, which is nice because it comes in a 40, a 50, and a 60, 80% let off, you know, a 34-inch axle to axle. It's not the fastest thing, but then again, we can still shoot recurves and be accurate and deadly.
Exactly. Very good bow. Women really love that bow, and believe it or not, we've actually had guys that want that bow just because the mass weight on it's a little bit less than everything else in our lineup. So it's a really good shooting bow. Women love it. It's really good bow. Good draw length adjustments all the way down to 24 inches. So that's huge. That's good.
It is, and very important in this industry as well. Now, let's focus away from the bows a little bit and talk about the 2014 Quad Shootout going July 18th and 19th. This is a new event.
Correct. Yep. This is our third year, and this year is looking to be over the top for us, which is definitely not a bad problem to have. We have to cap the event to 36 teams just because we want everybody to have an experience
mm-hmm.
when they come to our event. It's really kind of pretty much spared no expense. We started out with 18 teams the first year, went to 27, and we really only have a few spots left right now. So it's a good thing. Guys participate, two-day event, guys, women, gals. It's a four-person team. They compete in trap 3D, pop-up 3D, and an 18-hole golf scramble. That's on the second day. Great event. We've raised nearly $60,000 in 2 years. So we're looking this year to really, really hit our mark.
And where's the money going? What charities is the money going to?
We donate to two main charities. One of them is Ray Howell's Kitchen mm-hmm. Bear Base Camp. He runs camps all over the United States that basically introduce kids into the outdoors. They take them. They got hundreds of kids that come in. They shoot bows. They shoot guns. It's all about being in the outdoors and everything that kind of goes along with that. Really a great organization. And then another one that we donate to is called the Peacups Foundation. It's actually a smaller Michigan-based company, but they fund free prostate screenings for men
mm-hmm.
and around lower Michigan, around 6 or 7 hospitals in the lower Michigan area. And we actually just recently found out that there's a guy that went in because the test was free
mm-hmm.
and he had no indication, very healthy guy, no indication whatsoever. And long story short, he tested high. He had to go get his prostate removed, and he's completely cancer free now and had no idea. He was already stage 3.
Wow.
So it's good. It's really good. Really good to know you're donating to an organization that's actually making a difference.
Real quickly, we've got just about 30 seconds left. Is there a website for this event?
Yes, quadshootout.com.
All right, quadshootout.com. There'll be a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, as well as a link to Strother Archery, Imlay City, Michigan. Nathan Benavides, appreciate you joining us here, man.
I appreciate your time. Thanks for your call.
All right. Coming up in the next hour of the show, our buddy Chuck Mason is going to talk about fishing Lake Erie on Wild Michigan.